umugenzi n'umwese gahana n'irashaka cyangwa n'umwirekanana fashmeshi ugirwe n'ama cyangwa gishinzwe cyatanya prezo n'itanga cyangwa n'idagadara cyangwa n'ubuzima bw'ubuzima hari gishna hari gishna 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 hari rama 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 hari hari. So we are going to start with 4:38. Already finished 37, and hopefully I think today we'll be starting with the fifth chapter also. Okay, Aritra, are you there? Okay, all right. So let's start. We'll take turns to read. So I'm going to read the 38th verse. There is some disturbance coming in the background. Haribol.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. I know. Radhasmaran Mukherjee, you have joined, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. So I will read the 38 verse.
Prabhuji, can you just please mention the chapter as I'm joining after a long time?
Four chapter,
438. 438,
okay. Nahi jnanina sadrisham pavitram iya vidyate tat swayam yoga samsiddha karanatmani vindati. In this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is a mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Perfect. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As said, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is a mature fruit of devotional service. And one, when is situated in transcendental knowledge, he did not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Okay. I think straightforward. Any comment on this? Okay. Next. Nidhi Mataji, would you like to read?
Yes, Prabhuji.
A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains supreme spiritual peace. But such knowledge in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by a faithful person who believes firmly in Krishna. One is called a faithful man who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness, he can attain the highest perfection. This faith is attained by the discharge of devotional service and by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt. Over and above this, one should control the senses. A person who is faithful to Krishna and who controls the senses can easily attain perfection in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay.
Actually, here in this purport, Prabhupada is talking about two things, that one attain knowledge, and then through that knowledge one try to control the senses. Actually, Krishna consciousness is not automatic. Everything depends on the free will of the living entity. Nothing comes automatically. Also, many times Prabhupada did mention that when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then automatically he develops all the qualities of demigods. But it is assumed that the devotee will be sincere, he will follow the process, he will be offenseless in his demeanor, then automatically all these qualities will manifest. And automatically everything will reveal to that person. But unless we are offenseless in our demeanor, unless we follow the process properly, strictly, you know, the process will take a lot of time. It will take a long time. Okay. So now in the beginning, obviously we won't be able to control the senses because it won't happen automatically, it won't happen naturally. So it is a sadhana for us. Sadhana in the sense it is, you know, because that's the reason it is called Vardhi Bhakti. Because we are trying to control forcefully certain things. We don't have the desire to control it, but we do it forcefully because we have the knowledge. So using the knowledge, actually we try to restrain the senses. That's the initial step towards marching in Krishna conscious journey. But later on, when we advance sufficiently, when we come to the stage of ruchi, asakti, then actually it is very natural for the senses to focus on the Lord more rather than wandering here and there. So it becomes very natural. But in the beginning, as long as we have a lot of anarthas, we don't cross the stage of anartha nivritti, till that time we have to struggle. So struggle means basically we have to show our desire, our determination to control the senses, to restrain it forcefully through the knowledge that is available, through the spiritual master and the Shastra. Okay. So by gradually doing this, we don't do certain things, we don't restrain certain things immediately, or in terms of quantity, we don't come down drastically. Because generally it is observed and experienced that one who tries to do certain things forcefully, in an intense way, then although it might stop temporarily, but then after some time, the desire or the senses will become wild and it is more difficult to control them. So ultimately one will give up. So it is always a good idea to, if you have any anarthas, if you have any shortcomings, materialistic tendencies, certain strong tendencies you have, then give it up gradually. Like for example, one time there was one devotee, and I think you all must be familiar with Gaur Gopal Prabhu. So he was actually habituated to smoking around like 80 cigarettes a day. So he asked Gaur Gopal Prabhu, he went to Gaur Gopal Prabhu and he told him that because I have joined Krishna Consciousness and because I know that smoking is, breaking the regulative principle, so from tomorrow I'm going to stop completely. And then Gaur Gopal Prabhu, he was expecting Gaur Gopal Prabhu to be very happy, but Gaur Gopal Prabhu replied to him that don't stop immediately, reduce it. So instead of 80, smoke like 75. Okay, so go down gradually. So the idea of the fundamental of spiritual life is that whatever you do it steadily. And whatever you want to give up, that also you give up in minor quantity. Don't try to jump the Himalaya if you can't even walk. Okay, so better to gradually, give up certain things which you are strongly habituated. And then this principle applies in any condition of life, whether it is materialistic life, spiritual life, you want to increase your sadhana, you want to increase your attachment to the Lord, you want to do service more, you want to associate with more devotees, go deep into your sadhana. All this principle is common to everything, whether you want to give up or whether you want to increase something. You always have to increase or give up certain things in steps. You should not immediately jump. Okay, so initially, because the thing is, we are not at the level of ruchi. And what happens is, a devotee in the beginning, because of immaturity, because they are at the stage of low anartha nivritti sometimes, so they feel that they have attained ruchi, and certain activities have to be done at the stage of ruchi, so they try to imitate that. And when they imitate, obviously, because they cannot sustain that thing for a long time, so again they fall down to the stage of bhajana kriya. So better always to regulate the habit in such a way that you decrease gradually over a period of time and increase your sadhana over a period of time. So, but the most important thing is to maintain steadiness. So you have to actually regulate your life in such a way that whatever habits you have, if you have reduced them, so be at that reduced stage for a long time, and then your confidence will increase, then you can again reduce give up certain things. Okay. So this is the idea, that do things, go gradually, step by step. Okay, any comment or question on this? So we are, you know, gaining this knowledge so that we can understand how we should act. Although we might not be able to act spontaneously in the mood of goodness, but even though we might get angry on someone, we might criticize someone, we might chastise someone, because of our nature, we can probably create some difficult situation or embarrassed situation for us. But because we have the knowledge, we can repent about it and then we can rectify it. Okay. So that is the advantage of gaining knowledge. So that is the first step towards spiritual life. Then, so you practice that a lot of times, and finally, one point of time, you will come to a stage where you naturally start acting spontaneously. The knowledge is realized, so then you start acting spontaneously. Okay. Our next was Mithil.
Yes, Rahul. Verse 440. Agnas chashradhanas cha sanshayatma vinashati na yam lokosti na paro na sukham sanshayatmanah. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Purport. Out of many standard and authoritative revealed scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita is the best. Persons who are almost like animals have no faith in or knowledge of the standard revealed scriptures, and some, even though they have knowledge of or can cite that the revealed scriptures, have actually no faith in these words. And even those others may have faith in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, they do not believe in or worship the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Such persons cannot have any standing in Krishna consciousness. They fall down. Out of all the above mentioned persons, those who have no faith and are always doubtful make no progress at all. Man without faith in God and his revealed words find no good in this world nor in the next. For them, there is no happiness whatsoever. One should therefore follow the principles of revealed scriptures with faith and thereby be raised to the platform of knowledge. Only this knowledge will help one become promoted to the transcendental platform of spiritual understanding. In other words, doubtful persons have no status whatsoever in spiritual emancipation. One should therefore follow in the footsteps of great acharyas who are in the disciplined succession and thereby attain success. Hare Krishna.
In those who do not have faith in the real scriptures, they also will not attain perfection, even though they might have the knowledge, but they will not be able to control the senses also, because everything happens by the mercy of the great souls and the Lord. And if they don't have any faith, then there is no question of making any advancement. And once you are not going to make any advancement, the knowledge is not going to be realized. So the knowledge always will be theoretical. Okay. So we have to have faith. There is no other way, actually. And that's the, you know, what Krishna says here, that if a person does not have faith without the scriptures, so they will definitely fall down. And obviously they don't have any scope, because for this life and the next life also, we are going to be entangled in the material world. Now, there is another verse in the Bhagavad Gita which also mentions Yasastra Utsajya Vartate Kama Karanat Nasa Siddhi Mavapnoti Nasakam Naparam Gatim. So that also mentions that if a person does not have faith in the scriptures, Yasastra Utsajya Vartate Kama Karanat, then he will be entangled in the cycle of Kama. Okay. And he will neither attain happiness in this world nor in the heavenly planets. Naparam gatin, nor he will reach the higher destination. Okay. So the faith in the Shastra, and faith in the words of Lord, actually, when we talk about faith in God, there is nothing such as faith in God. it, like how can you say how do you say that a person has faith in God or not? How do you say that? If someone says that I have faith in God, so how will you test their faith?
Prabhuji, when one, I feel personally, when someone realizes the fact that, there is some supreme controller who is controlling and who is having, who has created me. There is some, higher power, and that is God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So someone who believes in that, I feel, have a faith that there is God.
So, okay, so maybe they might have, a very, very small realization that there is a God, because we can see that, everyone knows that they are not the controllers, and things don't work according to our desire. Everything is controlled by someone. So when they see all these things around, then obviously they will feel that there is some supreme power. Now, who is that supreme power? How will you test the faith of these people when they say that, okay, yeah, there is a God and we believe in God? But how will you test your faith?
I don't know, Prabhuji.
Huh?
I don't know.
The answer is given. Any other devotee would like to guess?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dhanavad Pranam. Prabhu, how are you? Good?
I'm fine, Prabhu. How are you?
Yeah, Prabhuji. Yeah. So we are. I think we all pray for your granny.
Yeah.
And hopefully she attains the best destination wherever she is currently.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she surely attained the mercy of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. I also realized
no
the same. Yes, Prabhu. Prabhu, I wanted to mention there should be steadiness in the practice of spiritual, there should be some steadiness by the devotee. So that can
that is very good point.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, so Prabhupada Prabhu is saying that there should be some, we should observe some kind of steadiness in their faith and in their worship of the Lord. That's an excellent point, actually. And how do we know that they are steady in their faith and they are steady in their worship?
When they don't doubt the scriptures.
Yes, when they follow the scriptures. Because, how do you know what is the word of God? How do you know that? It's very easy to say that I believe in God. But then, what about the words of God? Do you believe in that? And if you don't believe, then is there any other way that God can communicate to us? Is there any other way?
Hare Krishna.
It is a good point, but what we have seen in India is that there are a lot of people who are very ritualistic in their worship. They are steady also throughout their whole life. They do rituals a lot, but if you see their, their faith, if you ask them such words of God and how can we approach God, then they don't have any answer to those questions. Or practically, probably they have some hotspot idea. They'll mix up everything and they will give you, some kind of answer which they have heard from someone. They will not give a perfect, answer according to Guru Shah. This is definitely there, but then that steadiness has to be also accompanied by faith in the Shastra. Because Shastra obviously is the word of God. There is no other way to know God. Okay, so, in Orlando, we had, I had given a class in this subject, faith in scriptures. So I asked all the devotees that how do you believe in God? What is the way you can believe in God? And how do you know what is God's will? So then, you know, devotees were thinking, and then Trivikram Maharaj said that, you know, we have to have faith in scriptures. You know, so that scriptures to say that we believe in God, that is not fully realized, partially realized. You know, it's not even like developed. It's like a, you know, a seedling kind of faith. So it's like, you know, as Rupa Goswami says, that it is more of a bhas, semblance of devotion, rather than real devotion. So real devotion follows, or it comes when actually we have real faith in the Shastra. And that's why Rupa Goswami also adds that Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrik Vidin Vina Ekantiki Hare Bhakti Upa. Or those who neglect the conclusions of the Shruti Puranadi, then they create only disturbance in society. Because those who are devotees, those who are real devotees, they will respect the scriptures also, because they know that they are manifestation of the Supreme Lord. So they will not criticize, they will not. So scriptures is the only thing, you know, is the only way actually to believe in God, to actually understand the words of God. There is no other way for this, no substitute. Okay. Another interesting thing is that it's very difficult. Whatever the scriptures are saying, you know, it's very difficult to digest. So now, so you must have heard, you must have read so many, you know, so many stories from the Puranas, you know, which give some kind of, and it says that, like, for example, whoever takes bath in Prayag, the time of the Kumbh Mela, okay, so they are immediately liberated. Now, actually, many people take bath in Kumbh Mela, in Prayag. We see that they are not getting liberated because they continue to commit sinful activities again and again. And at the same time, they are not liberated from the karma. So how are we to understand the Shastra? How do we understand the Shastra? What is given in the Shastra? Extreme faith. You know, very staunch faith. Then only actually we can really have faith in the Lord. Right? So, with regards to this particular story, you know, or this particular, you know, going to Allahabad, Kumbh Mela, taking bath in that. So there was one particular story in the Puranas, mentioned the Puranas, indicating actually the glory of Prayag, that, you know, it is definite that one who takes bath in Prayag during the Kumbh Mela, you know, Parvati and Lord Shiva were discussing with each other, and Parvati was actually sharing her thoughts about, you know, getting liberation by, you know, taking bath in Kumbh Mela. And then she was mentioning Lord Shiva, you know, so obviously this is one of the pastimes of the Lord. So Parvati is obviously, you know, one of the devotee of Krishna, and certain times, you know, they will ask certain questions which are not, which I mean, they don't have any confusion or doubt, but they ask for others. And take bath, you know, in the prayer, but they, you know, do not get liberation. So how is it possible? Because it is given in the Shastra. So then Shiva said, okay, let's go to Prayag and let's demonstrate that. Okay, so faith, they, you know, people who take bath, they should have strong faith. So now when they go to Prayag and they take bath, so, you know, then if they do not have the strong faith, then they will not get liberated. So then what Shiva did is, Shiva told Parvati that, so I will disguise in the form of a leper, and I will, whoever takes bath in Prayag and they come out from taking the bath, so I will ask them that, can you take my disease, because your disease, because people know that after taking bath, they have become liberated. So that, you know, if they take my disease, then they will not incur any karma. They should not incur any karma. They should have that kind of faith that the disease is not going to affect them. So I will do that, and we'll test who is going to succeed. Okay. So many people, they took bath in Prayag and they came out, and then Lord Shiva was there, standing right there, and he was asking all these people, so can you take my leper? Can you take my disease and all these things? And then most of the people of faith, because Lord, like, you know, Lord Shiva, he was telling them also that you are liberated, so why don't you take my karma? Okay, but people did not have any faith, and that's why it did not have any effect on them. But then at the end, one person was there. I told him that, why don't you take my karma? You know, it won't affect you. At least I will get cured by that. So he immediately agreed. And as soon as he agreed, then Abhishiva transformed himself into his original form and gave him darshan and your strong faith. So this is a pastime just to, you know, make us understand that, you know, the glories of this, you know, whatever is predicted in the Shastra, or the glories of the Dham, or the Ganges or Yamuna, or the pastime places mentioned in the Bhagavatam also. There are so many stories in the Bhagavatam which culminate in giving some kind of benediction. And if we do not have faith in that benediction, then we will not get the result of that. So that kind of faith has to be there. Plus, whatever activity we are doing, like someone may go and take bath, and then they might feel that they have strong faith, that we have become liberated. But just by having that kind of faith, or just by having that kind of thinking that I have strong faith, it's not just that much, but we need certain thing, you know, certain extra thing is required, and that is our character has to be offenseless. So it is mentioned in Shastra, you know, all these things are mentioned in Shastra, that if you do this, then you get this kind of reaction, you get this. Like, for example, let's take example of Radhakund. So it is mentioned in the Netta of Instruction by Rupa Goswami that if you take in bath in Radhakund, then we attain the same kind of love that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna. Right? But like, you know, maybe some of still we have not yet received that kind of love. In fact, we are committing offenses, we are committing sinful activities, continue to do that. So how do you understand that? And that is the reason acharyas explain everything, and they say that when you offensively take instructions of nectar instruction, and then when you go and apply the 11th instruction, which is to take bath in Radhakund and, you know, attaining that kind of love for Krishna, so then you will get the result of that. But if you keep committing offenses, that, you know, you can go to Radhakund, get purification, and immediately attain love of Krishna, that is not going to be possible. Then Prabhupada would have said, the entire ISKCON movement should just, you know, they should just take house near Radhakund, and every day they should bath. Why every day also? Just take one dip, fill, go back. You know, Krishna Bhita will come and take us from Radhakund, right? But this is not the case. We have seen that. Prabhupada never said like that. In fact, whatever he has given, that served the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fed the Krishna consciousness movement. So we know that it requires so much of responsibility we have to take. It you know, creates a lot of anxiety. And then, you know, we have to maintain relationships, we have to follow etiquettes, then we have to avoid offenses. It's a struggle. It's a big struggle, actually. So he never said that just go to Radhakund, take a dip, and go back to Godhead. the process can never act, unless we get rid of offenses. And then obviously offenses, getting rid of offenses as well as having strong faith. So both things are required. Right? So this in the Lord and the faith in the Shastra and the faith in Guru, all these things simultaneously should develop. Otherwise there is no point actually in practicing Krishna consciousness. It will take lifetimes to attain that goal. Okay? Any comments on this? Any question? Makes sense to everyone.
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, as you mentioned about faith, and you mentioned few stories, but that faith will arise only when someone has because without knowledge, faith cannot come, right? So one who
exactly.
has to study Shastra to gain the knowledge so that he would have faith. But someone who don't believe in Shastra, how will that person gain? What happens when you speak to someone about the Supreme Lord and where did he, then they say that where it is written and where it is spoken. And then when we mention Shastra, so they don't have faith in Shastra only. So if they
yeah.
don't have faith in Shastra at the first initial stage, they will not have the knowledge. Right.
Yeah. So that is the reason Bahunam Janmana Mante Gyanavam Mam Prapadyante Vasudevam Sarvam Itim Sam Atma Sudurilava. That after many lifetimes, one becomes Gyanavam Mam Prapadyante. Even if one becomes a Jnani, Sarvamitim Samatma Sudurlava means among that Jnani also, if he has knowledge of Krishna, but even among those Jnanis, one cannot achieve the Lord if they do not have the proper consciousness, which means if they do not have faith, if they do not want to surrender to the Lord, then obviously they will not be able to attain the Lord. So, holy name, to give knowledge of Krishna to faithless people. So, first we have to, actually, a preacher has to identify whether the whoever is receiving the knowledge, whether they have some faith or not. See, that is the reason you see, from where the state from Ashraddha. It is starting from Shraddha.
Faith,
yeah. It does not start with Ashraddha, right? So there is no point of giving this Gyan to faithless people. So those who have faith, some little faith also they have, they are open minded, they are open to receive it. To them we have to atheistic and were faithless. So we should not, because then it becomes an offense to the holy name. Okay. And obviously, that's the reason Krishna also says clearly here that who doubts the real scriptures do not attain God consciousness. So, what you mentioned was right, that without knowledge, without having faith in scriptures, people cannot have faith in God. And that is what my point was right from the beginning, that without Shastra, you cannot. Now, some devotees, they might continue from the previous life, and they might be Raghunatha Bhaktas also. So, but still, even if they are so advanced in their personal spiritual lives, but still they will respect the scriptures. They will not reject it, and they will not do anything which is contrary to the scripture. Okay, it's just that they do not follow each and every regulation of the scripture, because they are acting out of love, that they are intense attachment towards the Lord. So that's a different thing, but they will never act contrary to the scripture. Okay, even advanced devotees, they will never act contrary. Right? So, is this point clear?
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah. Anyone has question or comment? Okay, Aditya, are you there? Aditya is not there, okay. Would like to continue, Manchi?
Thank you. 41, right?
41, yeah.
Yoga sanyasa karmanam jnana sanchinana samasyam atmavantam na karmani nibhadan sidhananjaya. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his action, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus, he is not bound by the reactions of work, O conqueror of riches. Perfect. One who follows the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, as it is imparted by the Lord, the personality of Godhead himself, becomes free from all doubts by the grace of transcendental knowledge. He, as a part and parcel of the Lord, in full consciousness, is already established in self-knowledge. As such, he is undoubtedly above bondage to action.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, here it is mentioned that one who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his action, and his doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in self means
he has realized the self. He has realized that he is part and parcel of the Lord, that he is the soul, he is not the body, and he is eternal servant of the Lord. So that is the meaning of factually realizing the self or situated in the self. So it does not mean Brahman liberation, because here the Lord is saying that one who acts in devotional service. So they situate in the self. So situated in the self means that you realize yourself basically, that you are part and parcel of the Lord. And the purpose is to serve the Lord. That.
Yeah. How to actually understand this? Because as it is mentioned here that, and as you said that, you know, realizing that we are part and parcel. Actually, this is the goal of bhakti, to understand oneself as a servant of the Lord and not this body and the soul. But knowing this, like I know this, I have read in shastras and I feel that I have some amount of faith and I am accepting it that I am the part and... But how can we act according to that in our day-to-day life? Because when we are practicing devotional service, we have a different kind of mindset, and once we study or we chant or whatever practices we do, we have a mindset that because we have read shastras and we want to follow that. But when we are not in our spiritual practices, then how can we actually act according to understanding and realizing that we are not this self? And
yeah.
How all the time we should understand that, you know, I am not this body and a spirit soul.
So, see, definitely we know from practical experience and from knowledge of scriptures, and obviously probably we have that kind of faith that whatever the scripture is saying is correct, because we have got some kind of practical experience of the Shastra. It's not that the, whatever the Shastra is saying, we don't have any experience. You know, it does not just remain theoretical all the time. But every time, whatever is there in the Shastra, obviously we realize that. So, it's not so difficult. Like, for example, we know that we are the consciousness, we are not the body. That's for sure, everyone knows that. Because the body is obviously going to die and then it will go away. But then, the emotions and everything, where does it go? And who is that person? You know, so that all we can get some practical understanding. Now, obviously, to act on that platform, it requires practice. You know, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that by practice, constant practice and detachment, one will come to that platform where actually they will understand that they are part and parcel of the Lord and they are not the body. Okay, and obviously that's the reason Rupa Goswami, see, the acharyas, they are also so intelligent, and they know that there is not just two sides of the same coin, that or there is not just black and white picture in spiritual life. It's not that today you are a nitya baddha, a conditioned soul, and then next day when you start Krishna consciousness, you become a Nitya Siddha. Right? It's not like that. So that's the reason they have given 9 stages of devotion. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartanya Vritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti. So we have to know where is our stand, which particular state we belong to. And when we realize that we have a lot of anarthas and then a lot of bhajan kriya required, so then we actually understand that we have a long way to go. So to realize that we are not the body and to, you know, act on the spiritual platform, that is for the state of nishtha and above. Okay, but below that, you know, we'll be attached to our body, we'll be attached to the ego. Right? We all know that. So this process is basically developing in stages, and we have to, whatever symptoms are given for each and every stage, we can understand and realize that, and we can know that probably we are at this stage, but we have to go, we have to improve, we have to go forth now. Okay, so at this particular stage, what is recommended? Let's say, for example, at the stage of Bhajan Kriya, what is recommended? That we constantly associate with advanced devotees, we hear regularly, chant regularly, we serve regularly. If you do this, then anarthas probably will go away quickly, and then we attain the state of nishtha. Now, at the stage of nishtha, what is recommended? We are always steady, so then increase our attachment towards the Lord, or increase attachment towards the devotional practices. So then we come to the state of ruchi, and then from there we go to the state of asakti. And then finally at the state of bhava, then the swarupa begins to manifest, our real swarupa. We'll actually understand more and more. Now, someone who is at the state of nishtha, for them it is, they begin to realize that they are not the bodies and they are, you know, eternal servants of the Lord. And they also begin to realize, because obviously they have experienced a lot of reservation from the Lord, direct experience, and what happens is, when the Lord is, so what happens is the Lord reveals himself. So he will first reveal to the holy name, Naam, Gun, Roop, Leela. Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela. Okay, so Naam and then the Roop will manifest. And the Gunas of the Lord will be manifested. So when the Gunas are manifested, we will actually understand the greatness of Lord. And when we understand the greatness of Lord, and when we know that he is the supreme lover, he is the supreme caretaker, his love is infinite, he is selfless, infinitely selfless, then our surrender to the Lord will increase also. Okay, so at that particular stage, we'll feel that we want to give ourselves to the Lord. We want to dedicate ourselves to the Lord and for doing his service. So we want to dedicate. So when that kind of dedication will come, so we'll make more advancement. And then at the higher stages, you know, the state of bhava, basically, you know, it's like, you know, everything, the flower is like kind of, it becomes matured enough. And that prema is the final fructification of the flower. So these are the stages, and that's how actually we have to act accordingly. Obviously, very difficult to say at this stage that I am the soul, I'm not affected bodily, and I'm completely free from ego. So it is, I think, none of us would probably claim that at this point of stage, you know, that we are in. So better accept it that, okay, you know, we are attached and we are conditioned. So just continue the process, associate with advanced devotees, serve them, you know, and then finally we'll be able to come probably at that stage when we begin to realize more and more that we want to, see, what happens is material attachment also goes away. Right? See, devotion, detachment, and direct experience, when one performs bhakti, these three things grow simultaneously. So devotion, if the devotion increases, detachment also increases. So detachment will automatically come from the materialistic world, from the materialistic activities. Whatever is not pertaining to the service of Lord, will get more detached from that. And when that detachment will come, will not have any attraction for other things which are not in connection with the Lord. So then obviously our surrender to the Lord will increase in terms of dedicating ourselves to the Lord's service. Right? So all these things, you know, they develop simultaneously. And by practicing bhakti in the right way, devotion increases, then direct experience also we see, you know, many times, and then detachment also develops. So through that, we quickly come to the state of surrender to the Lord. And then it is like kind of easier to go to the higher stages. Okay? So does this make sense?
Yes, Roji. Wonderfully explained. Thank you so much.
Yeah, okay. Any other devotee, they have any comment or question? Yeah. So we should not imitate the higher stages, and you know, obviously everyone knows that we are not the body, we are the soul. Everyone, each and every person knows actually, even not majestic people also know. But it's just that, you know, we are following the path and we are not following the path. Okay. So those who are following the path, they will, you know, advance further, and the state of bhava, they will almost realize their swarupa, and at the state of prema, you know, they will achieve perfection. Like that. Yeah, so generally, you know, this kind of detachment and this kind of realization that we are not the body, as a spirit soul, and the detachment for the body, detachment to the ego, generally it starts at the state of nishtha. Okay, from nishtha and then goes to prema. So, and then we know what are the symptoms of nishtha. Steadiness in whatever we are doing. And obviously steadiness also has different levels of gradation. Internal, external, you know, these are, and then obviously, you know, body, mind, words. It has three stages, nishtha. So externally, someone probably might be steady in their service, in their sadhana. And then through words, someone might be steady in their words. And then someone might be steady in their mind. So these three things, when they become, when you know, the steadiness achieves the state of mind, then that is the most advanced stage of steadiness. Okay, because it is very difficult to control the mind than to control the external senses, right? So this kind of nishtha is required, and then from that point onwards, our realization becomes stronger and stronger. So someone who is struggling at the state of bhajan kriya and artha nivritti, it is natural they will act mostly on the modes of material nature platform, which is passion ignorance. See, that's the reason at the state of nishtha, Prabhupada explains, 75% of the anarthas, they are destroyed. So what remains at the state of nishtha is mostly more of goodness. Passion, ignorance are destroyed. Okay?
Yes, Roger.
Okay. Yeah. Or any other devotee, they have any question? Okay, let's continue. Pratik Prabhu, would you like to?
Yes, Prabhu. Text 42. Tasmad jnana sambhutam ritastham jnana sinatam mana chitvainam sanshayam yog mastishto tishtha bharat. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. Purport. The yoga system instructed in this chapter is called Sanatan Yoga, or eternal activities performed by the living entity. This yoga has two divisions of sacrificial actions. One is called sacrifice of one's material possessions, and the other is called knowledge of self, which is pure spiritual activity. If sacrifice of one's material possessions is not dovetailed for spiritual realization, then such sacrifice becomes material. But one who performs such sacrifices with a spiritual objective or in devotional service makes a perfect sacrifice. When we come to spiritual activities, we find that these are also divided into two, namely understanding of one's own self or one's constitutional position and the truth regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who follows the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is can very easily understand these two important divisions of spiritual knowledge. For him, there is no difficulty in obtaining perfect knowledge of the self as part and parcel of the Lord, and such understanding is beneficial, for such a person can easily understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. In the beginning of this chapter, the transcendental activities of the Lord were discussed by the Supreme Lord Himself. One who does not understand the instructions of the Gita is faithless and is to be considered to be misusing the fragmental independence awarded to him by the Lord. In spite of such instructions, one who does not understand the real nature of the Lord as the eternal, blissful, all-knowing personality of Godhead is certainly fool number one. Ignorance can be removed by gradual acceptance of the principles of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifices to the demigods, sacrifice to Brahmans, sacrifice in celibacy, in household life, in controlling the senses, in practicing mystic yoga, in penance, in foregoing material possessions, in studying the Vedas, and in partaking of the social institution called Varnashrama Dharma. All of these are known as sacrifice, and all of them are based on regulated action. But within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. One who seeks that objective is a real student of Bhagavad Gita, but one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back. One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under a bona fide spiritual master with service and surrender. A bona fide spiritual master is in the disciplinary succession from time eternal, and he does not deviate at all from the instructions of the Supreme Lord as they were imparted millions of years ago to the Sun God, from whom the instructions of Bhagavad Gita have come down to the earthly kingdom. One should therefore follow the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is expressed in the Gita itself and beware of self-interested people after personal aggrandizement or who deviate others from the actual path. The Lord is definitely the Supreme Person and the activities are transcendental. One who understands this is a liberated person from the very beginning of his study of Bhagavad Gita. Thus ends the Bhakti Vedanta purports to the fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the matter of transcendental knowledge.
Jai Hari Bol. So with this we have finished the fourth chapter. Great. And I think we started in June, in the month of June last year. And it's May, so I think next month, I think probably by June, we might be able to finish the fifth chapter also. So maybe, yeah, we are like going one third of the speed, because there are 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. I think, the theme that we are currently we are undergoing, that is okay for everyone? Like, go verse by verse, we reach in every purport. Is that okay?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, like, we are not in a rush or hurry, and we want to make sure that we understand everything. So.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah. So any question on this purport?
Prabhuji, what is the difference?
Yeah.
Like, what is the difference between yoga and Sanatan yoga? And Sanatan yoga, yoga and Sanatan yoga and Sanatan dharma?
So generally, like, for example, if you see the previous verse, there, yoga sanyasta karmanam. So now, here, Prabhupada translates yoga as by devotional service in karma yoga. Okay. And now in this verse, you know, it is mentioned that in the purport, Prabhupada mentioned the yoga system instructed in this chapter is called Sanatana Yoga. So it seems that in this chapter, we are not able to make a difference between the yoga and Sanatana Yoga. But actually, in reality, the general meaning of yoga is to reconnect. And reconnect with whom? The Supreme Source. So in general, yoga should mean connection with the Supreme Lord. But sometimes the yoga term is actually misunderstood and it is used for many other things. That is the reason it has to be differentiated between yoga and Sanatana Yoga. So Sanatana Yoga, because when you connect yoga with the body, then it becomes temporary. So it cannot be Sanatana, right? So when you use yoga for performing austerity, performing some kind of siddhi or some kind of asana, then these things are all temporary. So it cannot be Sanatana. And that is the reason here it is specifically like Prabhupada calls it as Sanatana Yoga or Eternal Yoga. So is this clear?
Yes, Prabhupada.
Okay. So let us start with the fifth chapter, which is Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. So very relevant and very popular chapter. And I hope that, you know, everyone who is working, they will probably feel a lot of inspiration from this chapter and probably will try to discuss practicality of action in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Usha Mataji, would you like to start?
Yes, Prabhuji. Chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, Text 1. Arjuna Vacha, Sanyasam Karmanam, Krishna Punar Yogam Chasamsasi, Yashreya Etayorekam, Tanme Bhumi, Sunishchitam. Translation, Arjuna said, O Krishna, first of all you ask me to renounce work, and then again you recommend work with devotion. Now, will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? But in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that work in devotional service is better than dry mental speculation. Devotional service is easier than the latter because being transcendental in nature, it frees one from reaction. In the second chapter, preliminary knowledge of the soul and its entanglement in the material body were explained. How to get out of this material engagement by Buddhi Yoga or devotional service was also explained therein. In the third chapter, it was explained that a person who is situated on the platform of knowledge no longer has any duties to perform. And in the fourth chapter, the Lord told Arjuna that all kinds of sacrificial work culminate in knowledge. However, at the end of the fourth chapter, the Lord advised Arjuna to wake up and fight, being situated in perfect knowledge. Therefore, by simultaneously stressing the importance of both work in devotion and inaction in knowledge, Krishna has perplexed Arjuna and confused his determination. Arjuna understands that renunciation in knowledge involves cessation of all kinds of work performed as sense activities. But if one performs work in devotional service, then how is work stopped? In other words, he thinks that sannyasa or renunciation in knowledge should be altogether free from all kinds of activity because work and renunciation appear to him to be incompatible. He appears not to have understood that work in full knowledge is non-reactive and is therefore the same as inaction. He inquires, therefore, whether he should cease work altogether or work with full knowledge.
So the same doubt we might also have, that two things are recommended simultaneously by the Lord. So which is more important, which is more prominent? And what is the meaning of renunciation? What is the meaning of working with knowledge? So this is the answer, you know, this is something that the Lord is going to answer in the next verses. But I hope that every devotee understands that you know, what to renounce and what to like and what activity has to be performed. So there should be no confusion actually regarding this. So what is the meaning of that? Renounce work and then work with devotion.
Thank you.
Anyone would like to guess?
Prabhuji, renounce means to sacrifice, maybe to give up like eating or sleeping activity. And work with devotion means to offer the fruit of the results to the Lord.
So renounce work does not mean that you renounce your sleep and eating or something like that. This basically, it all depends on the circumstance.
Doing only devotion.
Yeah. How?
Renouncing of all activities means doing only devotion, other no material activities at all, like taking sannyas type. Or working in knowledge means knowing that you are working for the Lord and renouncing the fruits of the.
Yeah. That is the right understanding. Basically, renouncing work means renounce the fruit of the work. Okay. And recommend work with devotion means you engage the fruits of the Lord in the service of the Lord. And if the Lord recommends someone to renounce a particular activity, then that itself becomes devotional service. So renouncing your ego is obviously a devotional service. But renouncing your fruitive activity or renouncing the fruits of the activities, that also becomes devotional service. Obviously, it has to be engaged in the service of God. Right? So all these things are renunciation, basically. And sometimes the Lord can... Yeah.
Like in the last verse you were telling, this comes at the stage of nishtha and above, renouncing completely the fruits of our activities. That's stage, na? We should practice renouncing of the ego should be first.
Okay, so first of all, we should not combine the stages with renunciation of work, because a devotee at the stage of bhava can also do work for the Lord. So because they are attached to the service of the Lord, they are not attached to the higher stages of devotion. And they are not, they don't think that something, for a devotee who is extremely advanced, they will connect everything to the Lord. So for them, nothing is disconnected. And for them, everything is service for the Lord. So we have devotees in our movement like Ambarish Prabhu. He's pretty advanced in age and he's a proper disciple, but he's still working and, you know, he's using all his money for the service of the Lord to build the TOP, for following his Prabhupada's instruction. And that is the perfection of his life. You know, he has been given responsibility of Prabhupada and he's doing that. So now he will not be able to retire unless and until, you know, he is going to finish that project. So none of the devotees, that's the reason devotees are concerned about the service to their spiritual master. So they don't think of retirement. They don't think of renunciation. Or just retire and go to Dham and, you know, enjoy, relish Krishna consciousness. So that, you know, when we are instructed by the Lord, then we can do it. Or you know, because... But that also, you know, the Lord will instruct when we are very advanced in terms of... there is some purpose behind that. Like, you know, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they all took Babaji, you know, wish, and they renounced. But the Lord obviously had a purpose for them, you know. They are chanting, purified the entire world. So that kind of chanting, that level of chanting purity has to be there in order to deliver the entire living entities. And it also sets an example that ultimately, you know, the... Yug Dharma is chanting the holy name. Like, you know, one has to internalize things. So it is not something which is disconnected. Like, you know, the ultimate goal is obviously to chant the holy name 24 hours a day. But that chanting can mean direct chanting, or it can also mean service to the chanting, service to the holy name. Okay, so service to the holy name means expanding the holy name, you know, the glories of the holy name, to give holy name to others. And for that requires a lot of anxiety, responsibilities and management and all this and that. So it is not necessary that you renounce anything. You just renounce your false ego. You know, that is the basic concept behind renunciation. But it depends on the situation. You know, for each and every devotee, it is different. In general, in ISKCON, Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have given mission for us. So each and every devotee, they have to take the responsibility. As yesterday only we had discussed in CC class, how many verses there were, where, you know, it was emphasized so much that, you know, Prabhupada was constantly stressing the point that one should expand the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Okay, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to distribute this love. He wants to expand the tree of devotional service. So he alone cannot do it, but he requires a lot of help. And that is the reason all of us and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also instructed that those who have taken birth in Bharat, so they have the responsibility to Jan Sartak Kari Kara Para Upkar. So, you know, first realize your birth, you know, make your birth fruitful, and then give it to others. Para Kara Para Upkar, like that. You know, Jan Sartak Kari Kara Para Upkar. So we have to do that. That is the responsibility. And for that, we have to deal with so many things. You know, like when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and devotees were assisting Prabhupada in constructing the Krishna Balaram temple. So many devotees were not chanting so much that time, but they were just chanting cement, you know, bricks, you know, then water, you know, all these things. They were just constantly about whatever is required for construction, they were chanting about that. So, you know, some disciples went to Prabhupada and just asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, we came here with the intention of relishing Krishna consciousness by, you know, visiting different holy places and feeling, you know, the transcendental atmosphere of Vrindavan. But here we are, you know, just working like a normal karmi. You know, like we are engaged into the construction of temple, and then for that we have to deal with so many people, so much headache, so much tension, anxiety we are taking. We are not at peace. So Prabhupada said, your chanting is cement bag. You know, so whatever you are instructed by the spiritual master, you have to do that. So that will reveal the dham, right? Because the Lord is going to reveal himself. You cannot force him to reveal. So if you act against the intention of the spiritual master or the Shastra, then the Lord will choose not to reveal himself. And if you comply with the instruction of the spiritual master, then no matter how much difficulty you undertake for their pleasure, finally the Lord will reveal to all of us. Right? In one of the Puranas, probably it is Vara Puran, it is mentioned that there is doubt that someone who might be dedicated to the Lord will achieve perfection. But there is no doubt for those who are dedicated to his servants, even though they might not be dedicated to him. So that's a special benediction of the Lord. And then obviously Krishna also says that if someone claims that he is my devotee, then he is truly not my devotee. But if someone claims that he is the devotee of my devotee, then he is truly my devotee. So we have to understand this, that we have to become the servant of Vaishnavas. Okay, and for that we have to serve them. So so this is the principle, that we renounce things according to the direction of the spiritual master, and we accept things and we work for those things which are given by the spiritual master. Okay, so sometimes he may say that, okay, you know, renounce your work, renounce your job, give up your job. Like, for example, let's say if a devotee is not earning much and at the same time he's struggling to maintain his family, he's not able to contribute any, you know, so much for the spiritual activities, and at the same time, you know, he's struggling with his family. So then, and you know, maybe that devotee has a lot of talents for directly engaging in deity worship or teaching or book distribution, naams and kirtan, whatever. So then the spiritual master might tell him that maybe you could full-time, your family can join the temple full-time, and you can dedicate your life for the service of Lord. So you can renounce your job. Right? Because the tendency is that the more money we get, the more we like to increase our comfort zone and facilities. And then we also donate little amount to the Lord. So then, depending on the consciousness of the disciple, the spiritual master might tell him that better you leave your job and engage yourself in full-time service to the Lord. Okay, and another disciple who might be earning lakhs, millions of money, and they might be contributing 50% to the Lord. So for that disciple, the spiritual master might say that continue to do your work and contribute more and more to Krishna. Right? So it all depends. It all depends on the inclination of the disciple, the devotee, and you know, how much they are engaged in the service of God. Right? Is this clear?
Yes. Yes, yes, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Yeah. So this is the meaning of renunciation of work and work devotion. Okay, Pratik Prabhu, is that clear?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Well, did you ask the question? I mean, I don't remember it. But, you are making some comment. Yeah, you are making comment about renouncing in terms of sleep and eating and all that. But, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says that a yogi is the one who is balanced. He does not eat too much. He does not eat too little. So, basically, balance. He does not sleep too much and does not sleep too little. Okay, because we understand that the body is also an instrument for the service of Lord, so the body has to be maintained also. We cannot neglect the body. If the health goes down, then we cannot serve the Lord. That's why a yogi is the one who will balance his sadhana, seva, and health. So first comes health, then comes sadhana, and then comes seva. That is the order of importance. All the devotees can note this. Health is the most important, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Then comes sadhana. Because without health, you cannot do good bhajan. And without good bhajan, you cannot actually do effective service. Okay? So, this point has to be noted. Or any other question on this? Okay. Jigna Mataji, would you like to read the next verse?
Prabhuji. Verse number 2. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Sanyasi Karma Yoga Chaniya Kriyasa Karavubau Sayotu Karma Sanyasa Karma Yoga Vishishishyate. The personality of the Godhead replied, the renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for liberation. But of two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. Purpose. Fruitive activities seeking sense gratification are cause for material bondage. As long as one is engaged in activities aimed at improving the standard of bodily comfort, one is sure to transmigrate to different types of bodies, thereby continuing the material bondage perpetually. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5:4-6 confirms as he follows. Minam pramattama kuruti vikarma yad indriya praptiya arpanoti na sadhu manni yat atmano ayam asan api klesha dasa dehaha parabhavat savad abodh jato Yavan anajnastata atma tattvat yavat kriya sattavat idam manovai karmatmakam yanas sarira bandha evam manaha karma vasam prayunkate avidyan atmani upadhyatmane pratira na yavana mai vasudeve na mucyante deha yogena tavat. People are made up of sense gratification and they do not know that the present body, which is full of miseries, is a result of one's fruitive activities in the past. Although this body is temporary, it is always giving one trouble in many ways. Therefore, to accept sense gratification is not good. One is considered to be failure in life as long as he makes no inquiry about his real identity. as long as he does not know his real identity, he has to work out for the reason for the sense gratification. And as long as one is engrossed in consciousness of the sense gratification, one has to transcend it from one body to another. Although the mind may be engrossed in city activities and influenced by ignorance, one must develop a love for devotional service to Vasudeva. Only then one can have the opportunity to get out of the bondage of material existence. Therefore, jnana or knowledge that one is not of this material body but spirit soul is not sufficient for liberation. One has to act in a status of spirit soul, otherwise there is no escape from material bondage. Action in Krishna consciousness is not, however, action on the full platform. Activities performed in full knowledge strengthen one's advancement in real knowledge. Without Krishna consciousness, mere renunciation of productive activities does not actually purify the heart of the conditioned soul. As long as the heart is not purified, one has to work on the productive platform. But action in Krishna consciousness automatically helps one escape the result of productive action so that one need not descend to material platform. Therefore, action in Krishna consciousness is always superior to renunciation, which always entails a risk of falling. Renunciation without Krishna consciousness is incomplete, as it is confirmed by the Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.258. Prapanna chikataya buddhaya hari sambandhi vasunaha mumukshabhihi parityago viragyam phalagu kathayate. When persons eager to achieve liberation renounce things related to the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is called incomplete. Renunciation is complete when it is in the knowledge that everything is in existence belongs to the Lord and that no one should claim proprietorship over anything. Once you understand that, factually, nothing belongs to anyone, then where is the question of renunciation? One who knows that everything is Krishna's property is always situated in renunciation. Since everything belongs to Krishna, everything should be employed in the service of Krishna. This perfect form of action in Krishna consciousness is far better than any amount of artificial renunciation by sannyasi of the Mayavadi school.
Hare Krishna, See, here, why the Lord is saying, out of the two, work in devotional service is better, because sometimes some people, they renounce work immaturely, and they feel, because they feel that the material world is disconnected from the Lord, right? That's the reason here, Prabhupada also quotes Rupa Goswami from the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, and he says that if persons eager to achieve liberation renounce things related to Supreme Personality, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is incomplete. It's Phalgu. So Phalgu Vairagya, basically. Okay, Phalgu Vairagya means monkey renunciation. The monkeys also, they display signs of renunciation by showing that they are very detached from external things. But when they see the opposite sex, then they get very much attached to them. And then they have sex with them. So this is called monkey renunciation or Phalgu renunciation. Bogus renunciation, right? And then there is the real renunciation, which is called Vairagya. And so that is real renunciation, because here Prabhupada explains that whatever we are renouncing, first of all, we don't have anything to renounce because we don't possess anything. So if something does not belong to us, then how can we say that we have renounced that thing? Because for renouncing, that thing has to belong to us. Right? Then only we can say that we have renounced that thing. So that shows the sign of detachment. But here everything belongs to the Lord, so then there is no question of renouncing materialistic things. Right? The only thing that we can renounce is our ego, because that is something that we possess. Right? Mm-hmm. So, the renunciation of the Mayavadis, thinking that the material world is false and it's disconnected with the Lord, that kind of renunciation is Phalgu renunciation. Okay, and that's the reason devotional service in work. So rather than we can work in the material world and we can engage that work in the service of Lord, so that kind of renunciation of work, or in the sense that work in devotional service, but renouncing the fruits of that work, that is better than renouncing the work itself. Okay, which what the Mayavadis do, and other materialistic people also do that. Right? So I would also strongly recommend devotees to also thoroughly read and understand the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion. Fortunately, like, you know, I was able to finish all the 19 chapters, and many of the classes are recorded actually. So if someone would like to hear those, then it will also help a lot, because Bhakti Samrita Sindhu is actually a guide, the real guide to understand spiritual life, the real principles of understanding what is bhakti. Okay. So any question or comment? Right. So see, we have to, there are different levels of work, you know, which actually, you know, the Lord is going to answer, and we will explain actually in the further chapters and the verses of Bhagavad Gita. Because, you know, you can work for the Lord, but you are working for the Lord, you are working for the Lord in that particular field because you are attached to that. So that is one level of work. You work for the Lord selflessly, that is the, you know, another level of work. So you are just surrendered to the instruction of spiritual master and you work for the Lord selflessly, that is another thing. Okay, so there are different gradations of work also. But in general, work is always better, you know, to perform. And like Krishna also says that it's always better to perform one's duty than to imitate others. Because if you imitate the dharma of others, then you will fall down. So it's always better to work, to do the work which we are most inclined to do, according to our nature. Right? That's why we have the Varnashram system also. Okay. So any last question, comment before we end? Okay. So now, because we have started the fifth chapter, I wanted to know if any devotees have any comment or feedback about the way we are going ahead, the way it is being presented. So anyone has any comment for that? If some devotees feel that maybe we could improve, or if things can be done in a different way, or maybe some addition or some subtraction. Is that okay? Like the way we are going. Okay. Okay. All right. So we'll continue next Saturday mostly. Okay. So thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Pranam to all.
Thank you, Prabhu. Dhanvat Pranam. Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.